Welcome to Talk to Me. I'm your host, Brenda Warren, the Solutionist. And today, my very special guest is none other than Mr. John Watkiss. Despite his inability to stay in school long enough to graduate from programs he enrolled in, John has managed to reach world-class status as a speaker, speechwriter, fitness instructor, and performer. He is a high-stakes performance coach, professional speaker, author, and award-winning performer. He is the author of Speaking Notes, the 8 Essential Elements to Make Your Speech Music to Their Ears, and is the first Canadian-born actor to play Mufasa in the Disney musical The Lion King. In addition to more than 2 decades of experience delivering keynote speeches and workshops for clients in 6 countries and 3 continents, he has written speeches for corporations, government officials, nonprofits, professional speakers, and Hall of Fame athletes. A partial list of his clients include BMW Canada, Canadian Association of Professional Speakers, Human Resource Professional Association, RBC, Bank of Montreal, TD Bank, Monera Solutions, Canadian Federal Government, and Hills Pet Nutrition. His speeches and workshops are the perfect mix of inspiration, entertainment, and education. And I met John on Clubhouse. If you don't know what Clubhouse is, you better find out, because it is the newest platform for audio interaction. John, welcome to the show. How are you today, sir?
Brenda, thank you so much. And I'm doing well. It's been one of those crazy, hectic days. I'm happy to slow down and spend a little time with you.
Well, John, we're going to slow it down, because on my show, it's all about a conversation. I like to talk to people about what they do, what their business is, and how they're living their best lives now. And I know I'm going to be able to do all of that with you. But first, I want you to know that I do have my copy of your book. See that?
Wonderful.
And you can see it is tabbed, because I have several questions, and I'm going to base my questions on what I read in your book.
Oh, I should have gone back and reread it then.
I think you can handle most of these. You know, I wanted to make sure that I got everything in your bio listed out, because your accomplishments are major. But one of the things that wasn't listed in your bio was that you are a Latin dancer and won competitions. I like finding out those things about people. And also, the thing is about your musical background, which explains why you have speaking notes in here. I often say that we all have a PS in our life. So when I saw that in your book about the young lady asking you a PS, do you do music? Let's start there. The PS, do you do music?
That was a surprise to me. It was a shock at the time. We weren't in the era where social media is as prevalent as it is today. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if someone would just go on my Facebook at the time and see, well, what does John do? Mm-hmm. And the PS was, do you play a musical instrument? So this was a client I wrote a speech for. Mm-hmm. And after I wrote the speech, she sent me this email, and she was telling me all about the response that the audience gave her, how much people loved it. And after all of that is when she gave me that PS. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking to myself, why would she want to know if I played an instrument? It didn't make any sense to me at the time. So I asked her, why do you want to know that? And what she said was that she was told, if you hire a speechwriter, make sure they're musical, because a speech is meant to be written for the ear. And just like music, it has to have highs and lows and rhythm and crescendos. So mm-hmm. when she read my speech, she said, all of that is in there. And she said, she even said to her husband, I bet you John is musical. So when she asked me the question, she said, what do you think? Have you heard this? And what do you think? Mm-hmm. I had never heard of it. And I didn't know what to think, because my family is musical. Everyone in my family is musical. From my grandmother, who played the harmonica, to my son, who plays the guitar and the piano. Everybody is musical. But in my head, when I was writing speeches, I didn't think I was writing based on my music knowledge. So I said, let me find out whether or not this is the case. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of research to see, is there anything out there on music and speeches? Are there any articles? Is there any research? And I couldn't find anything. So I decided to go a different way and said, let me research music by itself, how you write a song, and then how you write a speech. And I looked at the greatest speeches in history. And I found out that there are 8 elements in music that you're going to find in every speech. And so that's how that'll happen.
Now, before we get to that, I want to stop here just for a minute because I want to take you through the book. But for those of you that are listening, you're not going to get all the things that's in the book because if you want to know, you got to buy the book. But I wanted to start with your dedication. And why I started that, because I am a grandmother's girl. And in the very front part, I noticed that your dedication was to Mama G and to your 2 sons. And I start there because we're talking about living our best life. We often live those lives based on the people that mean the most to us. And I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about why it was important to you to dedicate the book to your sons and to Mama G.
So we'll start with my grandmother because she was the matriarch of the family. And she lived to 99 years, 360 days. Mm-hmm. So the last time that I visited her was, her birthday's in January. I visited her in November of 2017. And I remember saying to her, hey, you have a big birthday coming up. And she is originally Cuban, but she moved from Cuba to Jamaica. So if you hear her speak, you don't know she's Cuban.
Okay.
So I said, Mommy G, you have a big birthday coming up. And she says, yeah, if I make it, which is, yeah, if I get there. And it made no sense because she was an active 99-year-old. She even said that she, you know, when she was in her 90s, she would go into the assisted living facilities, and she said she was playing for the old people. That's just how she was. So when she got pneumonia and passed, it was a shock to the family. But she was that matriarch who played that harmonica and played the piano and sang. And so I felt it would be important because the book was just about finished when she passed away. And then my sons, who mean absolutely everything to me. One is a poet, a spoken word artist and rapper. And then my younger one is the one who plays both the piano and the guitar. But they, just the sound of their voice, everything about them, you know, having a relationship with them is so important to me growing up without a father. So them being in my life, hearing them say just a word is always music to my ears.
Okay, so and there we'll start with that. After hearing that, so words and music, that's important to you and your family as a whole. I titled this segment Speaking with a Purpose because after reading your book, I understand that there is purpose behind the words and how you build them all throughout here. It indicated in your book that it took you 10 years to get to this. So I know there's purpose in this because often when things are delayed, there's a reason and timing is everything. Just like me coming across your book right at this point in my life when I'm starting to really begin to release my own poetry to the world because I've been writing for years, but I was always afraid, what if someone didn't like it? And just from the short time I've had this book and been able to read it, I feel like you gave me keys to the kingdom.
Wow.
So I wanted you to talk a little bit about why did it take you 10 years to put all this wonderfulness in a book?
I almost want to compare it to the prodigal son because I started writing the book. I had all this information with great intentions. So I wrote certain chapters and we were always told, if you're writing a book, do the back cover first so you can see it. You know, and I did that. I put it in a binder so that I was writing the book, I could see what it would look like. And somewhere in life, you know, changes happened. 2008 came around. I made the transition from living in Toronto to living in Florida in 2010. And somewhere in that whole mess, it's as if I entered a dark place and the book was forgotten. You know, and it had died. I don't even want to say I had forgotten it. I want to say that I had told myself that it was no longer going to happen. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't forgotten. It was just dead. Mm-hmm. And in 2017, I started working with a coach. And this coach said, I want you to think of something you can do. Think of a project you can complete that will take you to a different level from where you are now. And for some reason or another, the book came back to mind. And I picked up that book and I looked at it and I couldn't believe how much I had written. There was, I had written things that I didn't remember writing. Oh, did I write this? There was so much there. It was so close. And I had let it lie dormant for so long. And when I picked it up and started writing again, mm-hmm. once we got to Mummy G passing away, it was supposed to be out a couple of months after that. And I went into a funk, which was weird for me because it's not the first time I've had someone pass away. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of that happened in my life. I haven't lived a sheltered life at all. But with my grandmother, when she passed away, it did something to me. And I would say for the better part of a year, I just went downhill. I was not prepared. And so even from it being a month away, it took probably another year before I finally picked it up and got it done. It was a struggle. So there was resistance getting it out. It took a lot of resilience to push through.
And that I understand because when I was writing my book, the book has been sitting inside me for a long time, but it came out at the time of my life when I needed it to most. So let's move to the voice. You know, the first thing being on Clubhouse is that all we get to see or all we get to do is hear people. And I remember the first time I heard your voice, I went, whoa, that's cool. He sounds like the Lion King. Had no idea who you were or what you did. But then it all the pieces began to fall. And I read your bio as I tapped on your face. What I want to know is, when did you recognize that your voice was a ticket to where you wanted to go?
Excellent question, because there are times when I have heard it and times where I thought that I wanted to do voiceovers. In fact, back in 2000, when I was performing in The Lion King, mm-hmm. I wanted to do voiceovers, but I didn't pursue it. I always mm-hmm. doubted myself. Mm-hmm. And so I want to say in the past 4 months, maybe.
4 months? Really?
I want to say, yeah, absolutely. Because I've been teaching public speaking. You know, that for me is very different than the voice work itself.
Okay.
But it's as if people from out of nowhere who didn't know me, who had never met me, as soon as I opened my mouth, they'd go, your voice. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if I've gotten older and as a result of aging, my voice is just dropping and it's at this place where now it is hitting people. But mm-hmm. especially when I got on the Clubhouse, I was actually uncomfortable with the response to my voice because I don't get it that often. You know, I speak in front of audiences mm-hmm. and they don't say your voice. Mm. But you get on the Clubhouse and everyone's like, your voice. Can you please speak again? Mm-hmm. So really, it's been the past few months where I've realized how much is packed in there. And I've been taking now lessons with a vocal coach because I'm getting ready to create a commercial demo.
So your gift has been hidden for all these years and it's just starting to be developed.
Hidden in plain sight.
And that's amazing to me because, like I said, from the first time I heard you, I just made an assumption, which I know we're not supposed to make assumptions, that you've been doing this your whole life. So for someone listening today that may have a unique voice, understand that this fabulous voice you're hearing today has just started to develop over the last 4 months. That's mind-blowing to me. So, okay, then now let's get into the book a little bit. With that in mind, because there's so much in this book, and I'm just going to bounce around because I have some different stickers. And the sticker, we're going to go with the little green sticker first. And on the green sticker, it talks about everyone likes a story. And I thought, what an amazing, and right now I can tell you have an amazing story, because the thought that you've only really been, as I would say, growing into your voice over the past few months, that I'm going to have to sit with that one for a minute. I'm telling you. But in your book, you talk about digging deeper for storytelling. And I know this is part of you as a writer, the hero's journey, the formula for mastering the art of connection and powerful storytelling. I thought maybe we could just talk about those three things for a minute, just to give people just a little bit of what's in the book, because that really stood out to me.
Sure. We all love stories. If someone says, let me tell you what happened to me the other day, we automatically lean in. It's our nature. We've been built to want to hear stories. Mm-hmm. And so stories for me, especially I learned this last year during the pandemic.
Okay.
Where I told a story that I had only told a little bit before, but never to a large audience. It may seem strange, but I don't put myself out there. I'm a perfectionist, so for me to put myself out there is big. Mm-hmm. But I decided, this was after the whole George Floyd situation, murder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I normally don't watch videos. When anything like that happens, I don't watch videos because I get triggered.
Mm-hmm.
But the video played in front of me. I think my phone fell down and I actually watched it. And it triggered me to go on Facebook and tell my story about times where I have been arrested in front of my home.
Mm-hmm.
Like walking into my own condominium and being arrested because someone pointed out that I was stealing mail from other mailboxes. They mistaken me a black man in a black coat.
Black man walking. Don't make no sense. Oh, don't get me started. I'm getting triggered. Okay.
So
I'm sorry, like, who saw?
So you get it. And there were multiple stories like that. And the key was, all I was doing at this point was sharing my stories and events that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And people who had known me for decades started writing me. I have known you all these years, but I never knew you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because of the stories that I told, that I had been hiding, that I had been keeping in, because I didn't want to seem like a victim or sound like a victim,
mm-hmm.
or portray a certain stereotype that's in people's minds. So I just kept it to myself without realizing telling those stories was what broke the barrier between me and so many other people who didn't understand where I was coming from before.
And you know, stories for me are everything. I've been writing since I was a child. And one of the things that stories have done for me was giving me the ability to dream. I always say dream big and then dream bigger than that. So when I write, it takes me to a place that I don't even think I can explain to anyone other than another storyteller. And that was why I could pick your book up and read it, because it's information. There are exercises in the book to do. There are so many nuggets in the book that I just really enjoyed. And how you explain to use analogies, to use metaphors, statistics, quotations, you know, using lists. There was just so much in this one little book that I'm like, literally, this is going to be a book that is sitting next to me every day. Because I literally took your book after hearing you on Clubhouse. I went and ordered it before I even asked you about the interview. That was the first thing I did. After I got your book and read the introduction and heard about Mama G, I knew I was going to ask you, please, please. And I was so grateful when you agreed to do this interview. And with that said, I'm looking at this next tab that I have here. And the next little tab talks about how to connect with the audience. And I thought maybe we spend a little time talking about how we connect with the people that are listening to you or to me when we speak.
You know, we have to meet people where they are. Connection is so important. And what I find one of the biggest mistakes we make when we present is we think we're just giving them information.
Hmm.
if we don't connect before we give that information, it's not heard. And so it's our job to reach people where they are in the moment that they're hearing what we have to say. And that's why it's so much like music. You know, we're outside, we're talking to somebody, or we're at the grocery store, and all of a sudden, that's my song. Right? It grabs us. There's an automatic connection. It doesn't matter when the last time we heard it was, but we know that song has something for us. That's what we need to be doing as speakers, is we need to be connecting with the audience in such a way that they feel like we have something for them. And so this message is meant for them. This encouragement is meant for them. And that's what the power of words does. It connects people, or it doesn't.
Absolutely. Sometimes it does not.
Right. So that's why we have to be so careful and intentional that when we speak, we do it with the purpose of connecting to the people who are in front of us, even if they disagree.
And, you know, one of my statements I love to tell people, I've learned over the years because of my military training to learn, I have learned to agree to disagree without being disagreeable. And that has been a lesson that really served me, especially in our current situation in our nation. You know, again, I titled this Speaking with a Purpose. And one of the things that I recognize when I enter any room that you are moderating in or just sitting in and asked to come up and speak in is that you speak with purpose. Where does that come from?
Part of it is being a perfectionist. The other part is realizing that our words make a difference, and the way we speak makes a huge difference. When I was growing up, I grew up in Toronto. So it was a very multicultural city, multicultural classroom. I was born in Toronto, but my parents were born in Jamaica. Many of the students who were in my class were Jamaicans, but not just Jamaicans, there were Trinidadians, there were Koreans. Any one of the students that spoke with an accent coming from Jamaica, they were put into English as a second language class along with people who did not speak English at all. So it was that very clear message to me that people are going to judge you based on how you speak. And so even in life as we get older, that message is still clear. The ability to present your ideas clearly, concisely, confidently makes a difference in the way that you are treated. I have been, again, put in a chokehold by a police officer. And when they heard me speak, it's like, damn it, we got the wrong one. It was just something about the ability to communicate intentionally and confidently that will put anybody in any position on notice. And even when they didn't want to back down, they realized, based on my communication, this is not one we're going to win.
You know, I often say that to my own child about the importance of effective communication. And that's something that we really need to speak to in our community to get our people to understand that how we articulate our thoughts, our concerns, our frustration matters. You know, John, with all the access that you have now to the audience that you're being exposed to, how do you see that helping you live your best life in the future?
My goal in life, my mission, is to nurture and develop my gifts so that I can inspire others to do their own great things. I believe everybody has a purpose. I believe everybody has potential. And if listening to me inspires others to live their best life, then I'm living my best life. Because what I'm here to do is to help others grow into who they are. That's what I'm here for. I get joy out of watching people become their very best and overcome obstacles they didn't believe they could, and recognizing for the very first time how incredible they are. In fact, I see so many people who have accomplished so much and still can't recognize their greatness. So I live my best life, but when people hear me, there's a spark inside of them that says, not that I can do better, but I am better.
report like that. Not that I can do better, but that I, where's my ink pen? Not that I can do better, but that I am better. I'm a note taker, John. You know, I stopped the show to take a note. See? So, but luckily this is recorded, so I can go back because I failed to have my notepad today. I am messing up. But in that sense, say that again for me, please, because I want to make sure I got that one.
Yeah, not that I can be better, or not that I can do better, but that I am better.
Not that I can do better, but that I am better.
Right.
I want to share something with you that you did that actually had me feeling that way. It was when we were in Clubhouse, and you came up on stage. Oh, and for the people that don't know, again, Clubhouse is an audio platform. So you don't get to see the person. You just get to hear their voice and they get to hear yours. And I asked a question about how to write a speech. And I want you to know, John went right into teacher mode. And I walked away with, let make them remember, make them repeat, and then let them respond. And I was so excited. And then he didn't just stop there, though. He asked me about the speech that I was writing and gave me a pointer on how to have three points so that I wasn't overwhelmed in my speech to be able to discuss with them. And it was three C's. And so I can't remember the three C's right now because I didn't do the speech, but I wrote it down. But if I was thinking about it right now, it would be the fact that it would be the confidence, the clarity, and the concern. And so your speech will be built around that. Could you talk about that for a minute?
Absolutely. When we speak, just like in music, we want people to remember what we said. We want them to repeat it to others. And we want them to respond by taking action. Mm-hmm. Right? Go to the grocery store. When music plays, people dance or sing to themselves. Some people embarrass their children. Right.
I'm that person.
That's me too. In the mask, I am singing in the mask. Because music makes me respond.
Yes.
Your presentation should be able to do the same thing. In order for people to respond, they have to remember what you said. And the only way they can remember is if you make your words clear, concise, and few. The fewer you have to remember, the more they will remember.
So less is more in speeches.
Absolutely.
I'll remember that. It makes me think about something my grandmother used to always say. She'd say, baby girl, it's okay to hold a conversation, but every once in a while, you need to let it go. Mama and my grandmother were always saying that because I had a bad habit of just talking. So this is the perfect job for me is to interview folks. So I get to talk and listen at the same time.
And let it go. Absolutely.
And let it go. Which is one of the reasons why I really like when I get to do this and people feel free to talk. That's why I named the show Talk to Me. So I remember. So every time I see Talk to Me and I want to go, even though I'm talking right now, is to say, let somebody else have a conversation. Let it go, little girl. John, would you tell us, because we're getting close to our end time here, if you knew what you knew right now, let's just say 5 years ago, we won't say last year because everybody's going back to the pandemic start. But if you knew what you knew 5 years ago right now, how would that affect the way you live your best life now? Whew. Or is that too far back for you?
It's not. 5 years ago, believe it or not, I was running a personal training studio. So I've had a varied background. And I was running my personal training studio at the time. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're not there now.
Mm-hmm.
But if I knew back then what I knew now, wow. I don't know that I would have done things any different because I followed my passion.
Mm-hmm.
It's my life has been weird from the standpoint that I decide I'm going to do something and I do it. Okay. And so when I was running my studio 5 years ago, I started going to fitness conferences and teaching personal trainers and fitness instructors how to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which is what I had been doing since 1996, but I took a break.
Okay.
And in fact, there was a point in my life before I started writing speeches. The reason I stopped speaking was because I didn't believe that I lived up to the message that I was trying to deliver. So I thought, let me write speeches for other people who are living up to it, and let me stay silent. So that desire to always have a message for people has been there. But 5 years ago, I remembered who I was. And so now, I think the only thing that would change is my level of confidence. I am so much more confident now in my voice, in my ability to share, in my belief in myself, that I would be farther ahead, but I would be doing exactly what I'm doing right now. And that is sitting and talking and sharing, because this is who I was meant to be. You know, there's a part in The Lion King where Mufasa goes back to Simba, who is running around in the jungle instead of being the king who he was born to be. And he says to Simba, "Remember who you are." And so really, it would have been an earlier reminder of who I am. Because right now, I am being who God has intended me to be.
Well, you don't get better than that, John. John, how do people reach out and connect with you?
You can find me on Instagram or on Facebook or on LinkedIn. I'm easy to find because it's John Watkiss, all one word on either one of those, J-O-H-N-W-A-T-K-I-S. That's how you spell it. I had to think for a minute. Or you can email me, John, J-O-H-N, at johnwatkiss.com. So I'm always easy to reach, john@johnwatkiss.com, if you'd like to send me an email.
Well, there you have it. John's book is called Speaking Notes, the 8 Essential Elements to Make Your Speech Music to Their Ears. And you can also find John on Clubhouse. And if you have an iPhone or iPad, I suggest you get in there and hear this, brother, because I'm telling you, he is dropping nugget on top of nugget. This is the keys to the kingdom. John, I'm so excited you came to be on this show with me today. And if you'll stand by for a minute, I'd like to invite you and all our listeners, as I do at the end of each show, to join me in thanking a veteran. You know, veterans often aren't always told thank you. So if you'd like to join me, we are not asking you for any money. I'm not asking you to go anywhere. Just sit at home, get on your computer, and go to www.nevcc.org/projects. It's right above my head, y'all. And type a message for a veteran. There are 12 opportunities because there are 12 months. January was Fresh Start, and February is Live, Learn, and Pass It On. Find us a theme that fits your purpose, and speaking with a purpose, write out a thank you that allows a veteran to know that you appreciate their service. Every night when you sleep with your family sleeping tight, there's a veteran standing on a wall guarding you and I. So I'd like you to take the opportunity to go to www.nevcc.org/projects. And for all my fellow veterans out there, thank you for your service. John, once again, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for being on the show. Do you have any last closing thoughts for us?
Number one, thank you. And thank you for your service. It has been a pleasure being here with you and being able to share. And I want to say to everybody, if I leave them with the words of Miles Monroe, it's my favorite quote, potential, all that you can do but haven't done yet, all that you can be but haven't become yet, how far you can go but haven't gone yet, and who you really are, but no one knows yet. Remember, you are more than what you have become.
That is one of my favorite quotes as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been another episode of Talk to Me with my guest, John Watkiss, today, Mr. Mufasa. That's what we call him at the clubhouse sometimes when he's not listening, y'all, not in his face. But remember, as I always tell you, the choices you make today will be the reality you live tomorrow. Choose wisely. Be blessed, everyone.
Thank you so much.